In this episode of Crypto Over Coffee, I'm going to be sharing with you four, maybe five cryptocurrencies that I am going to sell in 2024. Now, there are a few assumptions that I'm going to lay out in this video. I'm going to explain which coins I'm planning to sell and why. And one of the coins in that list I think is really going to surprise you. So it makes sense to stick around till the end of the video so you get to hear all of the coins that I'm planning on offloading in 2024, hopefully for a handsome profit for the most part. Now, before we kick things off on that, I also want to point you to the podcast version of this show. If you like Crypto Over Coffee, you're on the go, you don't have YouTube Premium and you want to listen to it in the background, I do publish the show and will be publishing some exclusive interview type episodes on the podcast version of the show. So use the link in the description if you're on the YouTube video to check out the podcast. Now for the very first coin that I'm planning to sell in 2024. And the first coin on that list is Phantom, FTM. Now, I think probably 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that, I started incorporating Phantom a little more into content because I, like many people, even though I've been in this space a long time, got really sick of Ethereum's fees and I wanted to be actively in the DeFi space. I wanted to trade a little bit more regularly in the DeFi space. And so I started branching out into other EVM compatible chains. So I was using Phantom, I was using Avalanche, I was using Polygon and a bunch of other different chains, including a little bit of the BSC Binance Smart Chain stuff. And Phantom was an interesting one because Phantom was a chain that was very much influenced by and driven by Andre Krohn, who was a renowned DeFi developer. And a lot of people flocked to Phantom for the low fees and the really interesting DeFi projects that started to crop up there. Towards the end of last bull market, Phantom was one of the last chains to sort of fall off of the wagon, if you will. And a lot of that had to do with Andre Krohn walking away from the project very publicly, basically saying DeFi is over, you know, crypto is over, etc. Now, Phantom is sort of back in the mix and Krohn is back in the mix. And I think a lot of people are excited about that. And I do think that Phantom is going to come back in this bull market, especially as we get to maybe a renewed DeFi summer. We shall see. People do not want to pay the fees on Ethereum. And so they are going to go to layer twos and they're going to go to other L1s to do it. And a lot of them are going to be EVM compatible chains. The issue that I have with Phantom is that I don't see, beyond the low fees, sort of natively on chain, I don't see what is going to lift it above Ethereum layer twos, true layer twos that operate in concert with the Ethereum layer one. And so I don't feel like Phantom can continue to capture market share and capture liquidity from the broader crypto market, because I don't think that it is going to be able to remain competitive, even if it gets some really unique DeFi primitives or unique DeFi applications with handsome rewards. When that fades away, sort of cyclically, people are going to move the liquidity away. And so as we start to see the final shakeout of layer ones that exist today, I don't think Phantom is going to be in that top 10 that survive and thrive beyond this. So I feel like in 2024, I will take my opportunities to exit Phantom. And of course, I will still keep an eye on it. But that is my plan with regard to Phantom. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with me? Doesn't mean I hate Phantom, but this is the calculus that I'm doing in my mind with regard to how I might treat Phantom in the 2024 bull market. And again, that is one of the big assumptions that I alluded to before. Is 2024 a bull market, or do we have to wait till 2025 to see? So I'm making an assumption in this video that 2024 is going to be that big initial run up in a bull market. So we shall see. This could be a 2025 plan rather than a 2024 plan. But we can't really predict that. We're just going to have to make our plan and execute accordingly when we see the signs. Now, speaking of seeing the signs, and it may be a little bit corny, but a project that I've basically always been a fan of since the very beginning of the project itself, based on the vision of the project, and one that I was sort of a proponent of over its major competitor for a long time, and I'm sort of changing my tune, is Polkadot. And now I want to be clear, I don't dislike Polkadot, but I think that there have been some concerning things in the Polkadot ecosystem over the last couple of years, and especially during the bull market. I think that during the Polkadot parachain auctions and some of the exciting stuff that was going on, it ended up sort of falling flat in terms of actual tangible execution and usage of the network. And once that excitement sort of peaked at the parachain auctions, I just didn't see that step change in what Polkadot was offering to developers and what Polkadot was offering to everyday users. I saw a lot of Polkadot fans continuing to use the network. I definitely saw some interest in some of the interesting DeFi things that were going on. Akala was one that came to mind. The problem is that I haven't seen the type of uptake in Polkadot as I have in Cosmos. And I actually like Polkadot's general design, and I think that it works, this sort of parachain slot-based solution that all centers around the Polkadot network as a layer zero, I guess you could call it. The issue that I have is that Cosmos has executed on that vision, of course, with permutations, a bit better. And I think the uptake in the Cosmos ecosystem, just seeing the number of app chains that have been developed, the amount of usage that's happening, the excitement around what's going on in Cosmos, I just feel like Polkadot has lagged behind a little bit. Now, that's not to say that in a renewed bull market, Polkadot won't do well. I actually think it will. I think that Polkadot projects will do well. I'm a fan of Efinity, the NFT-focused app chain or parachain that you can relate back to Engine Protocol, which I really like as well. The thing is that I'm just not seeing what will make Polkadot the winner if it comes down to Cosmos versus Polkadot in general interoperability. I think that Cosmos right now, as we sit here today, has the advantage in a lot of those areas. Not in every single one, but in a lot of those areas. And that concerns me with regard to Polkadot. Now, I could be proven completely wrong. I've been staking my DOT for a long time now, and I've been participating as much as I can in the Polkadot ecosystem. Maybe this will surprise me, and I will regret my plan to sort of remove myself a little bit more from DOT as an investment. What I'm planning on doing is selling DOT as I start to see it rising up and try and make some profit. And I would roll that potentially into parachains. I still want to have some exposure to the Polkadot ecosystem. I'm just unconvinced DOT is the best way to do that. So that is my plan as of now. I'm going to be selling DOT in the bull market. I'm going to try and catch as close to the top as I can by sort of the reverse dollar cost average, selling at different toll gates all the way up, and I'll be rolling those funds into parachain tokens and rolling that into sort of my profit bucket. Again, if you are a Polkadot fan, I'm not calling you out, not saying you should sell your DOT, just giving you my perspective and what I'm thinking about going into 2024's hopeful bull market. Now, the other assumption that I'm making is that there's not another general interoperability project that starts to enter this race and get competitive. Because right now, in my view, in terms of general interoperability and layer zero type of networks, you've only got a handful of them. And Polkadot and Cosmos are the ones that are probably talked about the most, but there are others out there. It'd be interesting to see if those start to really capture a head of steam and compete. That could change the mix. That could change things here, because obviously pressure from other projects can drive existing players to double down, level up, and grow. So we shall see. Now, speaking of existing players, man, can't talk today. Speaking of existing players, one of the longest standing projects, really the project that you can attribute currently what DeFi is all the way back to with its original constant product liquidity pool model, is Uniswap. And Uniswap is a really interesting one because a lot of people still think Uniswap is the undisputed king of DeFi and it will remain so forever. Almost like people think about Ethereum as the undisputed king of the L1s and it cannot be unseated. The issue that I have with Uniswap is that Uniswap seems to no longer have its vision straight. And obviously it's community governed, which is a good thing. You have the UNI token, and that is the subject of this coin I'm going to sell in 2024, at least I'm planning to. So it's community governed, and you have, of course, this push back into relevance with the fee switch where token holders are going to have the ability to sort of collect rewards from the emissions of the protocol. And as the protocol gets more usage, it rewards token holders. And, you have this cycle that's better for everybody, right? That's at least the theory. The issue that I have now is that Uniswap is trying to appeal to institutions. So they've got this institutional product. It's trying to be on every single layer two network in the Ethereum ecosystem, which I guess makes sense in terms of a liquidity capture strategy. But now what you have is you have liquidity fragmentation that is happening all over the place with Uniswap specifically. And this isn't unique to Uniswap, but it's something that I think is in particular a challenge for Uniswap, is how do we stay relevant long enough and innovate fast enough, because it is community governed, that's going to slow you down. It's like making decisions in a homeowners association. How do we stay relevant long enough for this liquidity fragmentation problem to get solved in the Ethereum ecosystem? And I don't see that happening in the near term. I think that's going to take a while. And why that matters is because in a liquidity pool-based approach for DeFi, for decentralized exchanges, for swaps and exchange, your liquidity is everything. The pairs that you have and the liquidity on either side of a pool is directly related to not only the stability and the fees and the ability for users to swap the tokens they're trying to swap, but it is basically the lifeblood of your protocol. And when you have little isolated liquidity pool pockets all over the place inside of an ecosystem that you can't really mix well, it makes things not only more complex, it not only requires bridging, but it also means that the protocol is not as strong as it could be. Now, I still like Uniswap. I rarely use it because of fees, but when I do, it's for a deliberate purpose, and it's still probably my choice decentralized exchange on Ethereum, especially for the L1. I think I'm probably at the point now, though, where I'm ready to sell the UNI token. In the bull market, I think it will tell me exactly whether or not this is a good idea. Now, I've participated in governance and all that, and it's great, but I think for me, there are other DeFi projects that are potentially more interesting. And a lot of the DeFi work that I will probably be doing is going to be on Ethereum layer twos and other layer one chains with lower fees, because it just makes a lot of sense. Looking back at the bull market in 2021, it was that much harder to make a profit, especially on altcoins with high risk, because I was getting gouged by fees. And so even people that have a decent stack of ETH are going to question whether they want to be trading on the layer one especially. But even in layer twos, there are probably better options in many cases that have lower fees. So it's a tough one, but I think UNI, it might be time for UNI to separate. And people are going to laugh at me because that was the dumbest possible joke I could have made. But the reality is, that is my thought with regard to Uniswap. Again, what do you think? Are you thinking Uniswap is going to continue to dominate, or do you think its days are numbered and more new and fresh and relevant ideas are going to rise to the surface? I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. I'm going to swap the order of these because I think I want to save the best for last. Okay. I want to save the best for last. It's probably the one that is the most shocking for last. People who know me and follow this channel are going to be surprised with the last pick. So I'm going to swap the order. I was going to talk about this one next, but I'm going to switch it. The other project is actually semi-related to Uniswap, but the reason I want to sell it is for different reasons. And that is Sushi, the native coin behind SushiSwap. This was probably up there with one of my worst picks or my worst theses in the last crypto bull run. And this was me making a bet that Sushi would launch a lot of its new functionality. I think it was Trident and a handful of other sort of new features, new functions to make the protocol very relevant. And at that time, liquidity was really, really flowing in the Ethereum ecosystem. And layer twos were really catching their stride. People were moving funds there left and right. And Sushi was right in the middle of all of that. But then there were some political issues within Sushi. There were leadership changes. There was some technical issues. A lot of things went wrong. A lot of things went off the rails. And they never got their stuff straight before the floor fell out on the bull market and everything sort of stopped. And Sushi was just down, 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 down. And it's still there. I don't think Sushi has really rebounded in a meaningful way, even though the market has started to pick back up again. And I think that it's one of those projects where you just have to accept that it's very likely that Sushi is not going to make its way back into the DeFi zeitgeist anytime soon, and it may never get back there. And so for me, this is not a sell for a major profit. This is sort of a, I don't think it's ever going to get back to where I bought it at and where I made my thesis that it was going up further. And so I'm just going to have to cut my losses and get rid of what I have left of Sushi, because what it showed me in this last sort of, I would say 2.5-3 months, where you had the ETF cycle in full hype mode, you had a lot of stuff going on in the space, Sushi was just kind of, it didn't really do anything that showed me it's going to capture that attention. And I don't think that releasing new features and functionality at this point is going to actually make a difference. So Sushi and X Sushi, so the staked Sushi, is probably something that I'm going to offload in 2024. If I can cut my losses a little bit more, if it goes up a little bit more, then great. But I'm going to start cycling out of it and just take the L on that one. And the last one that I want to talk about, the grand finale, I suppose, the one that's going to surprise everyone, is Ether. Now, before everyone freaks out, it doesn't mean that I think Ethereum is dead, doesn't mean that I think Ethereum is not going to compete, and it doesn't mean that I'm convinced that Ethereum is not going to remain the leading L1 chain in this new renewed bull market, because it has remained that way year after year, bull market, bear market, back and forth. Ethereum has remained king. However, just like in 2021, when I said you should sell ADA, Cardano ADA, even though I love the project, it's the same with Ethereum. You have to be able to look at the signs and say, do I want to round trip this every 4 years and really do well with ETH and then ride it all the way back down? Or do I want to capture my profits? And if I see a compelling reentry, take it. That's what I did in this last bull market, because I made the mistake in the previous one. So that 2017-2018 is I watched Ether rise and rise and rise and rise. Actually, this at this time, back in 2017, it was a really tough time. I think my girlfriend at the time, was in the hospital, and I'm watching all this go, and I'm seeing Ether just go up and up and up and up and up. And I think it was at that time that it just started tanking and tanking and tanking and tanking. And it's like you just watch all of your gains evaporate before your eyes. And I said to myself, I'm not going to allow this to happen again. And so in this 2021 bull market, I made a concerted effort to look at what I thought would be the top for Ether and start selling there. And I missed the top, not by a lot, but I missed the top. And I was okay with that. And I didn't sell everything, but I sold a good bit because I wanted to live to fight another day. And that really helped me during the bear market, because then I had some funds to allocate without having to sell during a bear market, which a lot of people get stuck in, is they want to reallocate funds. So then they have to sell in a bear market. And a lot of times it ends up biting you in the ass later. So anyways, Ether, why am I looking to sell it in 2024? Again, this is under the assumption that 2024 is the bull market, which we aren't sure about yet. And so if it ends up being 2025, then we'll call this coins I'm going to sell in 2025, okay? But the reason that I will sell ETH in this bull market is the exact same as the reason I sold it in the last one. But there's even more fuel to the fire now. Because Ethereum right now is at a point of inflection. It's at a point of inflection because it's almost to the point where the layer two dream, the layer two vision, the L2 centric vision for Ethereum, where you have heterogeneous L2s that sort of take up data availability space on the Ethereum layer one, derive security from the finality that the Ethereum L1 gives you, but allowing its users to take advantage of the low fees, which could be lower if Ethereum delivers on some of its vision for this year. That's great, right? We have this L2 vision, but I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough because even with EIP 4844, which creates a new fee market for blob space or data availability space, which will lower the fees on L2s, I still think there's this fragmentation that naturally happens. It's that liquidity fragmentation I talked about with Uniswap, for example, that isn't fully solved by that. And I still think that reliance on sort of moving coins from one space to another, the complexity that's involved in this, and the fact that I actually think the original sharded design for the Ethereum ecosystem to scale was probably better, and we're still going to end up getting there, even though we took a circuitous route to it by going L2 centric, rollup centric. We're eventually going to package all that together in parallel EVM, and it's going to end up back where we started with the Ethereum vision. Probably something that's going to happen in another 3 to 4 years. And that right there is the reason why I'm not as sure about Ethereum holding on to the number one title. I think it's going to be in the mix for probably for as long. I think it's going to survive in the top 10 for sure. I think it probably survives in the top 5. I'm fairly confident in that. Does it stay number one? I'm not confident in that. I'm not sure of that. I'm not as sure of that as I was 3 years ago. And that's the reason why this year, if I get an opportunity to sell ETH beyond the previous all-time high, and even beyond that, and obviously there are ways that I look to figure out whether we're at the top based on narratives. Are all the narratives played out? Are you starting to see plateauing liquidity? Are you starting to see plateauing developer activity on that chain, building dApps, etc.? If I see we're getting near a top, I'm going to start to position myself out of ETH. Again, not entirely, but I'm probably going to do it even a little bit more aggressively than I did in 2021. And so what that tells you, the listener or the watcher, depending on how you consume your crypto over coffee, is nothing is permanent. And even if you love a project, I love Ethereum. I still am, people probably bash me for it, but I'm still relatively loyal to Ethereum because that's where I got my start. That's where I built things for the first time. That's the ecosystem that I probably know the best, just fundamentally speaking. But just like I've said about Cardano in the past, and people know I'm a fan of Cardano, you have to know when to sell to take care of you. And that's the big thing, is that you're not doing the ecosystem any favors by not selling and round tripping your coins, right? You sell to protect yourself and to cover you and to follow your plan, your thesis, and then you're responsible for the results. If it continues to go up and you regret it, well, that's on you. If it goes down and it tanks after you sell and you say, wow, I just captured profits and I positioned my family better than we were before, then that's fantastic for you, right? But ultimately, then you bear the responsibility. And don't just round trip a coin out of loyalty. It's silly. It's crazy. You can't do that. So the point, the reason I'm making these videos right now, talking about coins that I'm interested in, or ecosystems I'm interested in, like I did last week, and this one where I'm talking about selling before the bull market's even started, is because this is what I do every single time we start to get to the bull market period. I think about the narratives that are going to take hold. Sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes I'm right. Generally, I think I have an okay track record on this, and I make a plan. I think about what I'm gonna do, and I think about the scenarios that may play out and the things that may happen. And they're unpredictable things. FTX, I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. The Three Arrows Capital situation that like took down half of CeFi, I should have seen that coming earlier, but I ended up figuring it out eventually. But it's like some of those things are unpredictable. But for the most part, I think you can make a plan, think about the edge cases, the best case scenarios, the worst case scenarios, and find your middle ground and do well. And crypto is a zero-sum game. So if someone makes you, every time you read one of those stupid stories on Forbes online, that's, you know, someone put in $100 in some meme coin and made $200,000, $250,000, or now they're a millionaire. For that person to have done that, a ton of other people had to lose. A ton of other people aped into that coin as it's running up and then got left holding the bag. That's how this space works. And so if you don't have a plan, you are at a disadvantage against all the people who are better traders than you, who have a plan and who are paying attention or have the luxury of paying attention to the space 24/7. I don't even have that luxury. I've got a life outside, right? I can't sit at my computer all day and just stare at the crypto markets. And so therefore, the way I get around that is by having a plan, setting up mechanisms and putting things in place so that when things are happening, I've already sort of prepared for them. And when things go off the rails completely, I generally am positioned in a way that my life is not affected if things go completely sideways or completely off the rails. So that's the reason I'm making these videos. Not to tell you that you should be replicating my plans. That's why I only give you, I give you as much as I can without telling you to do something, because you shouldn't copy me. Follow my process, follow the way that I approach these things and make your own theses about what you should be doing, the coins that you've been holding, evaluating each of them and thinking about how you want to play them going forward. So I hope these videos are helpful for you as I sort of give my stream of consciousness thoughts on how I approach these things. And sometimes I'm formulating these ideas as I speak to you. If you want to see my notes for this video, as I work through it, these are my notes. Just the bullet points that I wrote 5 minutes before I hit the recording button about which coins that I was going to talk about here based on what I've been thinking about and chewing on in my mind over the last couple of weeks, last few weeks. So that is how I approach this space. And those are some of the coins that I'm thinking about selling in 2024, 2025, depending on where the bull market ends up landing. So I think based off of timing, yeah, we're about 28 minutes. I always target 20 minutes and I end up at 30. So we're right about where I thought we would be on this video. So thank you very much for tuning into Crypto Over Coffee this week and every week. If you have any ideas for video topics that you'd like, or questions that you'd like answered in Crypto Over Coffee in a Q&A video, I think I'm going to start doing just dedicated Q&A videos, maybe some lives if I have an opportunity. So make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Make sure you leave your video ideas and questions in the YouTube comments or on the podcast message box. And most of all, I hope you and your family have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And until next time, cheers.